And the world says that's foolish. But to the person who has given their life to the Lord, we know the opposite. Okay. There are a lot of different types of fools that the Bible mentions. It's not up to us to ever call a person a fool, but it is God's business to do that because he made it his business. In Psalm 14:1, we read this. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. In Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The things that have to do with the Word of God, we need to be very careful how we talk about them or listen to people who joke about them. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, this is a very familiar story to you. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But changes everything, because it says, but God said unto him, he would never have called himself this, but God did. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of being in your house together to hear the word again, to hear the songs sung, Lord, the truth of these songs and the truth of your word is what will set us free. And give us the life that you wish for us, Lord, because you sent your only son so that we could have that life. And so, Lord, we just pray today that everyone who's here knows your son, Jesus Christ, is our personal Savior, and that, Lord, we would never allow ourselves to be a part of this old world that is so foolish toward your things. And we'll praise you for everything you do here today in Jesus' name. Amen. When God calls a man a fool, we would do well to take a look at that man and see what his life is like. Because God doesn't call a man a fool for no reason at all. All through the Bible, we're told about fools, and especially the Proverbs. If you've read many of the Proverbs, you know that it does. Well, Solomon, who was the writer, he had a son that was a fool. So No one is exempt from the possibility of being a fool. But in the Psalms, the one we read a little earlier, this was a different type of a fool. He was a skeptical fool. I prefer to call him an atheist because that's really what he was. And it goes on over into another psalm that he speaks of the atheist also. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now we think, and I've always thought, that the atheist is a person who is lacking in intellect. Surely they can't be very smart, right? To not believe in God. I've had a few people here just this past week say, how could a person not believe that there's not a God? How could a person possibly believe that when you look around you and see what God has created? But that's not the telltale sign, even though we know that God did create the universe. But if you don't believe he created the universe, if you don't believe in God, then you don't believe he created the universe. So that's not a viable piece of evidence for a person who doesn't believe. But we look at the atheist like he's some kind of a person who doesn't have any intellect at all. But that's not the problem with an atheist. The problem for an atheist is that he is just morally wrong. He is perverse. It's okay to take it that far, because God is the God of heaven. He is the God who created the universe. He is the God who has placed everything in its right place. He is the God that's all powerful. He is the God that's all knowledgeable. He is the God that's everywhere at all times. That's the God we're talking about. So that for the person to believe there is no God, he's not just, we could say he's lacking in intellect if we want to, but that's not the answer for this. The answer for this is that he is just absolutely morally perverse and wrong. He's a fool in his thinking toward God. There is no God. Sad, isn't it? It's sad that a person would come to the place to where there is no God. But this word God in this particular scripture, this word God is the word Jehovah. And so what he's saying when he said there is no God, he's saying there is no Jehovah. And that puts a little bit more emphasis on it, because he's not only denying the reality of God, he also denies the evidence of the Bible. The Bible is evidence, folks. This is the Word of God. This is not just another book. Hope we don't treat it that way. Hope we don't lay it up on a shelf in our homes or on a coffee table or somewhere and just treat it like another book. It's not just another book. It's a holy book. It's the Holy Bible. It is the Word of God himself. And so that person denies the reality of God, and he also denies that this book that we read here is evidence. I don't know about you, but it's total evidence for me. Can I look up and see what God has created in the universe and it just instills me? Yeah, I can do that. I can get up and see a sunrise in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. I can see the earth come alive every morning and when the light comes about and say, thank you, Lord. I can do that. But that's not totally it. This word of God tells me that God is God and that he's the creator of it all. And as to the true nature of God, I don't have to look at nature to see that. I read what he says here. So God is God. And for a person to say there is no God, Not good. Then what happens is when the man says there is no God and there is no evidence in God's word that there is a God, what he does when he's actually separating himself from God at that point. He's not just saying there is not one. He is actually pushing God away and going in his own direction. So when he does this, he actually substitutes his own concepts for divine truth and becomes what we all know every man to be ultimately, is that he becomes a religionist. Because everybody, don't let anybody tell you different, everybody is going to have a religion. It'll either be God or it'll be them. And so he's going to do that. There is just no getting away from it. So he's saying to the Lord, or to us, if you're a person who witnesses to somebody like that, he's just saying, don't bother me with that Bible stuff. Sometimes I've taken that personally, and I've had to catch myself before I would say something that would harm my relationship with that person. So I just pray for them that their eyes will be open and that they'll see. But when a person says, don't bother me with that Bible stuff, you kind of take a personal offense because you know that this is the word of your God. This is the word of the God. This is the word. This is the holy word of God. And sometimes we take that wrongly. So in Psalm 14, it deals with the general sinfulness of man. But in Psalm 53, he deals with specific sins. So if you want to mark those and go back and read them sometime, just do that, because in this one, the psalm that I just read to you, he's dealing with the overall general sins of man. But in Psalm 53, he deals with the specific sin of man. Atheism is not just an individual thing. We tend to take it that way, but I don't think we understand that sometimes governments put people under that same atheism. You can go to some countries who have outlawed the Bible. They won't allow people to have connections with the Bible. Well, when that happens, those people grow up in that atmosphere of atheism. They're producing atheism for their own people. So when these countries adopt that as a political principle of their government, then that person's going to grow up an atheist. They are. They're not going to have any knowledge of God whatsoever. Of course, I do believe that God will give them an opportunity to come away from that they'll see that it's wrong. That's why we have folks who are smuggling Bibles into some of these countries who are already set up that way, so that they can have a chance to see a Bible, read a Bible, and become what they know they need to be. This old world, folks, because of atheism spreading, and if you don't think it's spreading, all you got to do is watch what's happening in our society right here in the United States of America. And even in the Bible Belt as we live in right now, all you got to do is see the changes that are being made. And you can see that we're ripe for the coming of the Lord. It's close. So don't forget that, okay? We're ripe for that. And so if we're not looking up now and we're not loving his appearing, maybe we will very soon. Then he shows us a different type of fool. He shows us a fool who mocks at sin. That's a little bit different than the person who says there is no God. A little different. Because I don't think you can say there is no God and not mock sin at the same time. But here he's talking about mocking at sin. Now, when we say mocking at sin, we're talking about people who scoff at it or laugh at it. It's funny. There's nothing funny about sin. God would tell us there is nothing funny about sin. Your children learn to mock sin on the playground at school. If you're ever wondering how early a person begins to mock at sin, just pay attention to what your kids are getting into at school on the playground or playing games with some of their friends from time to time. I don't normally give people advice on how to raise their children, but folks, we got a demon in the house. We do. We have a demon in the house. And I would suggest to you that if your children are playing some of these games, you need to make sure they back off. Some kids are spending 3 and 4 hours a day and at night, when you think they're in bed fast asleep, they're talking to somebody miles away and playing a game with them. I'm not trying to tell you how to raise your children, but folks, what I'm saying is that this old world's concept is mocking at sin, laughing at it. And these games that they play are part of that. I know I've got grandkids, and I don't want my grandkids spending their time on a game board playing games. I don't even know how they play them, but they know. And I want them to have a good concept. I want all my grandchildren saved and ready to go to heaven, and that they understand that when sin is being mocked at, that it bothers them. When there's a joke made about the Lord, it should bother them. When there's a joke made about heaven, when there's a joke made about hell, when these jokes come up, that's a mock at sin. And God says there's nothing funny about sin. Sin actually is the greatest tragedy of this whole universe. Think about what sin did. It put this whole universe, not just our city and our county and our state and our country. I'm talking about the universe. Religion. Is that what it's about? If it's just religion, folks, it's easier to mock at sin. And religious jokes just become a part of our everyday life. They may appear funny at the moment, but we better stop and think before we laugh. Because your children may be listening to you laugh. That's how we teach our children sometimes, by doing the wrong thing in front of them. Well, God doesn't see anything to laugh at in sin, because sin sends people to hell, and there's nothing funny about an eternal hell. Nothing. Over in Luke, we read about the rich man who became a fool. Now, he was a little, we call him the rich fool. You could call it something different. He was a secular type fool because you don't have to be a farmer like he was to be this type of fool. It can be any of your possessions at all that would make you a fool. When possessions take over who we are and what we are, and we put more emphasis on what we have than on our relationship with God, we become a fool. And that's what he's talking about here. Riches didn't make this man a fool. I know some good rich people who recognize the Lord. And we know that riches don't always make a person a fool. The fact that they've got the riches will give them an opportunity to be a fool if they wish. He was a fool because he put power in what he possessed. It was a power for him because he would say, these are my barns. These are my fruits. These are my goods. Do you see anywhere in there where he's recognizing that God gave him the ability to have what he has? I don't see that in there anywhere, and that's what made him a fool. It wasn't his riches. He mistook his body for his soul. And any time a person does that, they become a fool. Because we know that this body is not going to possess heaven. Our souls are the possessor of heaven. Now, when God creates for us a new body, I don't know how that's going to be. I just know he's going to do it, and that we'll be in heaven forever. But here was a man who saw everything that he possessed was his own, and that God didn't have anything to do with it. And so when it came down time for him to make his decision what he was going to do with what he had, then the Lord just spoke to him and said, "Thou fool, thou fool, don't die a fool. And don't let any of your family members, your friends, co-workers, anybody die a fool. Let them know about the goodness of God. Let them know what's waiting for them just on the other side, because we're not here forever." My prayer today is that everyone who's sitting in this congregation really, honestly, truly believes that God is the God of heaven, Jesus Christ is his Son, and the Holy Spirit is our guide and director, and that we're going to try our dead level best to win others to Christ. Let's bow our heads. I don't know where you stand today. This is going to be a part of the service that's going to give us an opportunity to do an inventory of our life. Because when we do observe communion, that's your personal time just to have a talk with you and the Lord. And I hope and pray that every one of us do that today. Thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer. Thank you for this time of being in your word. And Lord, we want to thank you for allowing us to observe another Remembrance Day, a communion service where we can remember what you've been to us, what you are to us, and what you'll always be to us. God, help us to understand that this world is full of fools who say there is no God. But Lord, we know the truth. And we praise you, Lord, for everything you've done here today and what you're going to do in just the next few minutes. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful. and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Am I the one? You know, I never read this that I don't have certain feelings toward this man. It never changes. It's kind of like watching a movie and you watch it again and you wonder if there'll be a difference in it, and there's no difference in it. And I'm saying to you, there is no difference in this. I feel the same way every time that I read this about this man who the Lord said would do this awful, terrible deed. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. That takes you back to the fool. It does. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Did you notice that when they asked earlier, they said, Lord, is it I? Judas didn't recognize him as Lord when he said this. He recognized him as a teacher. He said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. He knew that he knew. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I'm going to ask our men if they would to please come forward and prepare for the communion service. I would like to say to everyone who is here who is a Christian, you have every right to be a part of this service, and we thank you. We thank you for it. We want you to be. I believe it's a source of strength for you. I believe it's a source of strength for your church, is that you participate in this service. Go ahead. If everyone would just please wait until everyone has been served, we will all partake together. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Will, would you bless this portion of the service?
Praise us, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you, God.
Let us eat to remind ourselves of Christ's body that was broken for us. In the same way, he also took the cup after eating, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink to remind ourselves of Christ's blood that was shed to take away our sins. this gives us a good personal time to think about what the Lord's done for us. We have an opportunity to think about him on that old rugged cross. It's not just a song. It wasn't just something that happened alongside the road. It was the God of heaven coming down here to have a relationship with us so that we could go to heaven with him forever. What a God. If everyone would please stand. We pray you'll be back this evening at 6 o'clock for our evening service. And those in the choir will be back here at 4:30. Let's thank the Lord for this time. Tom, would you dismiss us in prayer? Amen. God bless you.